This message is the message that was missed on May the 16th, and I want to share the thoughts that I had on the Word of God. We've been studying the Word of God over the past few weeks, and it is very significant, and I want to emphasize the blessings and the benefits of the Word of God in a child of God's life, or a brother or sister's life. I want to read Luke chapter 8, verses 5, and then 9 through 11, where it says, "And," or a sower, actually it's the sower, "went out to sow the seed." The seed of him is the actual translation of that. "And he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." I've read that verse to emphasize the fact that the sower, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a particular seed. Now, verse 9. "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might be this parable?" That is the parable of the sower of the seed. "What might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, or might not see, and hearing they might not understand." The seed is the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then, in verse 11, the seed is defined. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So, the Word of God is defined, and the seed is defined as the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, therefore, the Word of God pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I'm persuaded that the Word of God is the butterfat in the milk of the Word, that those who desire to discern between good and evil and choose the good and refuse the evil must churn to produce the butter that we need, or which is the meat of the Word, that we might be found pleasing to the Lord. Now, I want to emphasize the fact that the Word of God is needed if faith is to be increased. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." By the way, the word here is the Greek word for speaking, or in this case, preaching word, the preached Word of God. And faith is bolstered by the hearing of the Word of God, the preached Word of God. Now, the significance of faith is that without faith we cannot be an overcomer. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." Here's a passage of Scripture that's talking about those that are believing, present active. They're actually a participle. The ones believing that Jesus is the Christ is born not from above, but out from the God. There is a distinction here. This birth here is not from above. This is not being born from above. This is not of getting saved. This passage of Scripture is talking about the ones that have already believed, aorist, and have begun to believe, present active. Now, in verse 4, we see of 1 John 5, "For whosoever is born of God," or out from the God, "overcometh the world." So, those that are born of God or out from God overcometh the world, and this victory, or this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is required for us to become overcomers. Faith provides substance for the things hoped for and evidence for the things not seen. So it's faith that helps us to continue to war, that one day we might be found overcomers. And I'm emphasizing faith in this passage of Scripture because faith comes from hearing the Word of God or hearing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And being overcomers, we will be blessed with special privileges in the coming kingdom. By the way, traditions hinder the Word of God. Mark 7:13 tells us, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things you do. So tradition negates the power or restricts the insight into the Word of God. Now, being an overcomer provides blessing. And I just listed some of these blessings in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Notice here that he's talking to those who have ears to hear. And I think it's interesting that it's not ears plural, but ear singular. And I think that the significance here is this. If the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. If the ear is singular, then the whole heart is full of the knowledge that comes from hearing the Word of God. So it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, present active participle, will I give to the eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Here, a special invitation to eat of the tree of life that Adam and Eve did not eat. But if we are overcomers, we will be allowed to have of that fruit. In Revelation 2:11, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, present active, shall not be heard of the second death. The second death is the lake of fire. We will be baptized in the lake of fire that our works may be judged by fire. And the works of wood, hay, and stubble will be burned, and the gold, the silver, and the precious stone that endure the fire will provide us with rewards. So he that overcometh will not be heard of the second death, but he will be receive a full reward. In Revelation 2:17, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, present active, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, that no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. So here is another blessing and a benefit for the overcomer. He'll be eating hidden manna that's not for everyone. And he will receive a white stone. A white stone indicates approval rather than a black stone. And his name will be written on that white stone. And so there will be acceptance. And there will be the eating of the hidden manna. I just think about what the Lord will do when he returns and those that are watching for him. He will gird himself and have them to sit down to meet, and will serve them. And so there will be hidden manna. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, Revelation 2 and verse 26, says that he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. The overcomers are those who will rule and reign over the nation, and they will be ruling with a rod of iron. So overcomers will have positions of honor and glory as kings and lords in the coming kingdom. Then in Revelation 3:5, it says, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. An overcomer will be clothed in white raiment, and the shame of his nakedness will not appear, and his name will not be blotted out of the book of life. This is not talking about salvation at all. This is talking about people that are already saved and that are pursuing pursuing of the state of being an overcomer by faith. And the name being blotted out is of the book is the same thing of like we would think about being invited to the White House. And if we're on the list, when we come to the door and we're on the list, and they check the list and our name is written there, well, then we can go in and be a part of what's going on in the White House. But if our names are not there, or if our names are blotted out of that list, we will not enter. We will not be recognized. And when we come in, our names would be confessed, and in this case, before the Father and before the angels. In Revelation 3, verse 12, it says, "Him that overcometh, present active, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." So an overcomer will be established in the temple. He will go no more out, and I will write on him the name of my God. A privilege of being in the temple where God the Father and the Son will be. A privilege of being in a special place. In Revelation 3:21, it says, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." If we're an overcomer, we will rule and reign with Christ. We will be a part of his administration. I don't think this means that he will scoot over on his throne and we'll sit down. I think there will be a chain of command, so to speak, those on his right and those on one on his right and one on his left, and then on down the line. So the overcomers are going to have special privileges and positions and food and acceptance and the proper clothes to be part of the administration of ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming kingdom. Now, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "Whosoever is born out from God," or out from the God, "overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I believe that this birth, or this being born of out from God, is a new beginning. We are born from above. We're put into the family of God. That is a new beginning. Just like Jesus Christ, when he was born into the world, he was born the only begotten Son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. And then when Jesus Christ raised him from the dead and put him at his own right hand as our high priest, he said, "This day have I begotten thee." This was a new beginning for Jesus Christ and his ministry as our high priest. It's not that it was the only beginning that Jesus Christ had. And obviously, being God, he did not have a beginning. He was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So it's not that to be born is the first time, you know, it's not the new birth. That's the point I want to get across. This is being born out of God. And we see that in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice here that he hath begotten us again. I believe that this passage of Scripture is a reference to the passage of Scripture in 1 John 5:4. For God to have begotten us again, he had to have begotten us before. And I believe that when he begot us from above, that was our first beginning. And then when he begot us again unto a living hope, this was for an inheritance, a heavenly inheritance. Because it's on the basis of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is vain. But the Word of God would not produce the desired results of faith. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ made faith operative, and the hearing of the Word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom, causes our faith to grow. And so it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we will have an inheritance in the heavenlies. Verse 4, it says, to or for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, and reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. You see, faith is essential. And how do we get faith? We get faith through the Word of God. And how do we get faith through the Word of God? We get it because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that if Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is vain, our preaching is vain, and we are still servants of sin, saved, even though we are saved. Remember this, we're not saved by the resurrection. We're saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, because he died for all. And therefore, all can be saved. Now, continuing here, we are kept by the power of God, that is, the grace of God, through faith. How do we get grace? We get grace through faith. And that faith leads to the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That salvation that was revealed had to do with a heavenly inheritance. It's the so great salvation of Hebrews 2:3. Now, again, the first time we were born, it was from above. That's John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above. Not out from God, but from above. He cannot see the kingdom. See the kingdom of God. If you're in the family, you will see the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, are begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This word, born again, or begotten again, is only found one other place in the New Testament, and it's also in 1 Peter 1. It's found in 1 Peter 1:3, where it says, he hath begotten us again unto a living hope. So the second beginning is found in 1 Peter 1:23, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. Well, what seed is this a reference to? I believe this is a seed that is referenced to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the Word of God. What gives us a new beginning for an inheritance is when we, through the Word of God, learn that there is an inheritance that we can enjoy in the heavenlies if we will be overcomers. If we will not be counted as an overcomer, we will not receive the blessings of a heavenly inheritance, and we will not be ruling the nations with a rod of iron, and we will not have the power of the nations that we could have. So, being born, begotten again by the incorruptible seed, and it is defined in this passage of Scripture as the Word of God, which liveth and abideth for age. This word ever is age, and obviously the Word of God is being used in the church age, this age, to bolster our faith, to give us the faith that we need to access the grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's faith that provides us with the power of Christ, which is also the grace of God. It is faith that makes it possible for us to please Him. Now, in 1 John 3:9, we see another blessing of the Word of God. Whosoever is born out from God, out from the God, that's the expression. By the way, that expression, out from the God, is a unique expression. It's found more times in 1 John than any other book. And so it's a special birth out from God. It says here, does not commit sin. This word commit here has to do with practicing. It's in the present tense, present active. If you are born out from God, we who receive the mysteries of the kingdom of God do not practice sin. We know that if we practice sin, we will not have an inheritance in His coming kingdom. Let's continue. That says, whosoever is born out from God doth not practice sin. Why? For his seed remaineth in him. My personal feeling is this. This seed is the seed of the Word of God. As long as you're hearing the Word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, your hope is going to be made alive. And you're going to have a living hope for the inheritance, the heavenly inheritance. If this seed of the Word of God remains in you, you know that you cannot continue living and serving sin, or you will be disqualified from the hope of glory. So his seed, those that do not practice sin, the mysteries of the kingdom of God are alive and active in the heart and thoughts of those that are born out from God. And it says, and he cannot sin. Well, he cannot practice sin because he is born out from the God. So the expression born out from the God is to be associated with the hope of glory, with the Word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom. It's the seed of the parable of the sower. Now, again, Luke 8:11. The parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. And if the Word of God abides in us, we cannot practice sin. The mysteries of the kingdom of God, the Word of God is going to prohibit us from practicing sin. In John 8:34, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth or practices sin is a servant of sin. If we are a servant of sin, we're not a servant of the Lord. And if we're not serving the Lord, we're not going to be found approved and accepted. And by the way, this sin here, if we're practicing sin, we're practicing the sin. And the sin is defined in 1 John 3:4 as the sin of lawlessness. Whosoever committeth the sin, lawlessness is the literal translation of that. For the sin is the lawlessness. That's what 1 John 3:4 tells us. If you're practicing the sin of lawlessness, you're considered lawless. You're out of control. Jesus Christ is not in charge in your life. And we are not living in the Spirit of His Son, whereby He cried, Abba, Father, not my will, but thine be done. So, if we are a servant of the sin of lawlessness, we're going to earn the wages of that sin. It says the wages of the sin is to perish, is death, is to be to lose one's inheritance. All those who came out of Egypt, Moses and Aaron and Miriam and the others that were over the age of 20 or 20 and older, perished. They received the wages of the sin. They rebelled and were disobedient, and they lost their inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey. That's simply it. Now, the sins, the evidences of the sins of lawlessness have to do with the sins of the flesh. We read in Galatians 5:21, there are more of these than what I've listed here in Galatians 5:21. But you'll see what I want to emphasize out of this verse, where it says, envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you also in time past, that they which do practice, present active, such things, shall not. And that word not is OU. It's emphatic not. I mean, there's no messing around. You do this and you're out. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if the seed, the word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are continually presented to us through preaching, through studying, through churning of the milk, let me tell you, we're going to have an inheritance in the coming kingdom that we will enjoy. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it tells us about the brethren and what they do. Brethren are those who are seeking to enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. What is a brother seeking to do? He's seeking to do the will of the Father. In Luke 8:21, and he says, and he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear, present active, the word of God and practice it. Present active, do it. Brethren are those who are hearing the word of God. What's happening with brethren? Their faith is increased. Their ability to pursue the mark of the prize of the high calling of God is strengthened. Their ability to please God is bolstered, because faith can grow, and it should grow. So, brethren are those who are hearing the word of God and practicing it. And I emphasize, and I bring up Matthew 7:21, so that we can appreciate the fact of what brethren are trying to do. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Do brethren do the will of the Father? Well, it's what it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. And it is brethren that hear the word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and practice it. They're the ones who are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Another thing that that overcomers will enjoy or will do is found in 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born out from the God sinneth not. Here again is the present active. Of sinneth not, he doesn't practice sin. But he that is begotten out from the God keepeth himself. He guards himself. He walks circumspectly. He puts on the armor. The weapons of his warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One who is born out from God is going to guard himself from his thought life. Remember, it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and every imagination It's our imaginations that often do us in. And our thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God should control our emotions. So the weapon, those who are begotten out from thee, God, guard themselves, that the wicked one toucheth him not. This word toucheth is really not strong enough. It should be translated lays hold of. I just think about taking them into captivity, keeping them in bondage with fear. It's another thing. God has not given us the spirit of fear unto bondage, but He's given us the spirit of His Son, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, an overcomer, a brother who will be an overcomer, is one who will guard himself, and he will not allow the wicked one to bring him into captivity. And I want to close with Revelation 12, 20, 21, 7. He that overcometh, present active, shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. When God pronounces to us that we are his son, we are placed in a position of honor and glory in the family where we rule and reign. It's the sons of God that rule and reign over the earth today. Many of them are fallen, and many of them are fallen. But one day the sons of God will rule and reign over the heavens and the earth under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to appreciate the Word of God in our life. And hopefully in the weeks to come, we will be looking further into the significance of the Word of God in the life of the apostles and the deacons that were preaching in the book of Acts and other places. Father, I just pray that you'd bless this message to each of our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the value of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the Word of God, to help us to grow in faith, to help us to please you, to help us, Lord, to be overcomers. So, Lord, we just commit this message into your hands, and we ask you, Father, to bless it in the lives of those who listen. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.